for the organizers for inviting me to speak. So today I'm going to build off of part of what Phil talked about yesterday with these bulk boundary theories. And Phil talked about the classical story, which is once you fix Lagrangian, you should expect some P0 structure on the boundary observables. And today I'm going to talk about what a quantization means in a particular example, and hopefully say some talk about some general things as well. So first, I'd like to just have a review of observables and how we're thinking about them. So a classical BV theory if you like, is the data of a space of fields together with some shifted symplectic form. Together with some action functional. This action functional, we assume, is local in the sense that Phil talked about yesterday. And for convenience, I'll always write it as omega of q plus some term I'll call I. And this is the interaction. And what does it mean to be a classical BV theory? Well, it means that the classical master equation is satisfied, which says that bracketing of S with itself is zero, or equivalently, QI plus the Poisson bracket of I with itself is zero. So given this data, we can define the object that we call the classical observables. And by definition, its functions on E together with the differential Q plus bracketing with I, which of course I can think about as just bracketing with S itself. So I shouldn't write on that board. So here, there's this thing is just a chain complex. But there's more structure. Namely, E forms a sheaf. So this is a classical BV theory on M. And E forms a sheaf on M. The upshot of this is that the classical observables form a factorization algebra. In fact, this chain complex had more structure, namely the structure of a P0 algebra. And classical observables are a factorization algebra with a P0 structure. This is actually a P0 factorization algebra. So now I'd like to say a bit about quantum observables. So the key idea here is to introduce this operator called the BV Laplacian. So for linear observables, x and y, we can define the BV Laplacian on this now quadratic observable to be just the restriction of this Poisson bracket to linear observables. And this extends to all observables by the rule delta FG is delta FG plus or minus F delta G plus or minus the commutator, keeping track of the internal degrees of F and G. Equivalently, well, let me just say, so first, this naive definition, there's actually a problem, which we can see right away, which is that if I take my full observables, so these are linear observables, they lie in this subspace that looks like E dual. We've already talked about yesterday, this actually consists of distributional sections, the proper topological dual. So there's a problem here, because we cannot multiply distributional sections. This guy is not actually well defined on the full space of observables. In the naive way. An equivalent way of seeing this is, well, we can think about the identity as being an element in the topological dual tensor itself. And via the symplectic pairing, omega, this corresponds to an element that I'll call K0, which lives in E tensor E with its distributional dual, or distributional sections, distributional completion. And delta can be understood as exactly contraction with this tensor, this two tensor. Okay. So I'm going to describe two solutions to this problem, and both will come up in the talk. So the first solution is to work with some version of smeared observables. So essentially, by elliptic regularity, there's a subcomplex O of E tilde of O of E consisting precisely of the non-distributional sections in here, non-distribution of smooth sections. So you should think of the inclusion of compactly supported forms inside of compactly supported distributional forms on your smooth manifold. And by elliptic regularity, this inclusion is actually a quasi-isomorphism.
The ellipticity is in this operator Q.
The ellipticity is in Q, yeah. So I'm requiring that E together with Q is a complex, and it's actually an elliptic complex. So this means, for a free theory, i.e. I equals 0, we can define some smaller class of observables, smaller complex of observables, by the definition O of E, sorry, quantum. So these are the quantum observables, adjoint h-bar, together with the differential. Since I is 0, I just have this guy plus this BV Laplacian. And precisely for the reason up here why it wasn't defined, we can just naively apply this formula in this case, because I'm using just smooth sections, non-distributional. So this works for free theories, which is great. But in general, I want to apply elliptic regularity in a slightly different way. So in general, what I want to do is I want to take E, tensor E, distributions. So this is where my operator, or my tensor K0 lift, that I used to define my BV Laplacian. And I want to replace this guy by E tensor E, which is a quasi-isomorphism. And by the essentially the same reason over there, I can replace this guy by some homotopic tensor called KL for some parameter L, which is usually called the regularization. So in practice, how do we obtain such regularizations? Well, we need to choose a gauge fixing condition. So this is some operator on E of degree minus one. And precisely for the fact that it's a gauge fixing condition means that the operator Q with Q gauge fix, this is actually some operator D, which is a generalized Laplacian. And hence, I have the following heat equation, dKT minus dKT dT equals zero. And the regularization I choose is precisely the solution to this heat equation over here.
The gauge fixing condition, like that, doesn't depend on L.
Gauge fixing doesn't depend on L.
You just use it to flow for some of those.
Yeah. And I want to think about it as just being fixed in my theory. It's part of the data.
So it's like something like the infinitesimal generator of the homotopy of a contraction from E distributional into E smooth. Is that?
Sure. So. The homotopy is in the form of this propagator. Called P epsilon to L. So I think about this as flowing from epsilon to L in the regularization scheme. And it's exactly given by type of homotopy formula. So I flow from T equals epsilon to L. I apply as my gauge fixing operator to K of T. DT here, and this is the homotopy.
Sorry, will you give some examples of what this gauge fixing is?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I'm gonna hopefully get to examples soon. So, so then the goal is to now define a quantization. So now it's going to be some family of functionals, I of L. So this is some family of functionals depending on this regularization parameter. Satisfying. Well, it needs to satisfy two things. I need it to play well with this homotopy that I've defined. So I have this condition of homotopy RG flow. So what this says is that the weight of sticking my propagator on each edge of some diagram together with sticking IL at the vertices should be exactly, or let me say it like this, should flow to IL. So under this propagator, what this is saying is that my effective action at epsilon should flow to my effective action at L.
Can you say what W is?
So this is the weight of So this is sum over weights of graphs that I perform order by order in H bar. So I'm not going to. We'll do an example later on. But so at order zero. Order zero in H bar, so H bar to the zero, I only have trees. So just things I can build from my classical interaction together with sticking propagators at my edges like this. And then order H bar to the one. Well, here I can now have either vertices labeled by H bar, so this guy should be linear I1, together with possibly some trees with propagators labeled on the edges. But then I could also have some complicated wheels where I label the vertices by my classical interaction, and I get a factor of H bar for each closed loop in my graph. Okay. So that's my first condition. And the second condition is that, so this was one, and two, is that I should satisfy the following quantum master equation, which is exactly the condition QIL plus H bar delta L IL. So this delta L is exactly contraction with my regularization tensor here, my tensor that I've regularized at some scale L, defined exactly in the same way over here. Plus 1/2 IL. So of course, such a family of interactions satisfying both homotopy RG flow and the quantum master equation may not always exist. But in general, there's some anomalies. For the examples I'll talk about later, there are none. But you should keep in mind that we're just trying to solve this quantum master equation order by order in H bar. And at each level, we may have some type of obstruction.
So in an example, I just want to like Q gauge fix, you fix it at the outset. It's presumably a local choice.
Is that what do you mean local?
Like, I mean, in the sense that it's, I think.
It's a local operator.
Yes.
It's a differential operator. But these flows, of course, are integral operators, so they're not local.
Yes.
But you never said you want IL to be local as L.
Yes. So there's some. I really want more conditions than just this. I want my I as my regularization parameter gets really, really small to converge to some local operator. To behave like a local operator. Okay. So now, maybe let me just say briefly that you can now define. This is not a definition. This is done in Kevin and Owen's second book. You can define the notion of quantum observables now. In this more general context of having just a quantization and keeping track of locality properties. With some pretty hard work, you can show that you still get a factorization algebra on M. And roughly, the quantum differential on this factorization algebra is of the form Q plus H bar delta L plus 1 I of L. this. So yesterday, Phil talked about the following situation. So now we have a BV theory on a manifold with boundary. Like this. So let me call the theory on the book E. The theory on this boundary, we call E del. And we're assuming we're in the following situation, that E near this boundary, so if I choose some open set, U, and I look at a small normal neighborhood to U, collar neighborhood, call it U epsilon. I assume that E restricted to U epsilon, so the full theory restricted to U epsilon has the form of the Durham complex. In the normal direction, tensor E del, which I think about as living on the boundary, and this is the thing that we call the phase space. And what he argued that is that when you choose a Lagrangian, L inside of E, defines a P0 factorization algebra classical observables that look like functions on this Lagrangian here. And now the factorization structure just comes from locality on the, I think about it just coming from locality on the boundary. So I'm really only thinking about open sets on the boundary here when I say this. Or more precisely, small germs of open sets on the boundary to really compute these factorization products.
So you choose a Lagrangian E or E boundary?
Thanks.
So now the problem I'd like to address today. Problem is, what are the quantum observables here? That is a quantization of this factorization algebra of classical observables. So let me now introduce the example that I'll focus on for the rest of the talk, which is going to provide an answer of what the quantum observables are. And we're going to study them for various choices of Lagrangians. So the example I want to focus on is BF theory on a two-manifold. Call it sigma. So for me, this means the following. So on one hand, a nice AKSC description is I'm looking at maps from the Durham stack of sigma into the cotangent bundle of BG. And since I'm only going to do a perturbative thing, I'm going to study the tangent space to this guy, shift it, And it's precisely given by the following L infinity algebra. So it's concentrated in degrees 0, 1, 2, and 3.
You want T star 1, not minus 1.
Oh, thanks. So my first set of fields is the following form, and I'll write these guys as A. They're my A fields in the BF theory. And my B fields are concentrated in degrees 1, 2, and 3. Like this. So there's a Lie algebra structure coming from just the Lie algebra structure on G together with multiplying forms on sigma.
Sigma is a bulk or the bulk?
Sigma is a bulk.
Sigma is a bulk,
yeah.
Okay, so but then, so the one form in A is cost number one for using the
no,
one?
Oh, this is the Lie. So she said by one.
Ah, okay. So you still have to shoot.
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
So my field, yeah.
Okay. I put this annoying one over here.
Yeah. Okay.
Great. So let me call this, I'll call this guy, let me just call this complex E. So the pairing, the symplectic pairing. Well, from this complex, it's pretty easy what I mean by the symplectic pairing here. So there's an obvious pairing between G and G dual, and then I can wedge and integrate with the form direction. So omega is only non-zero when I have inputs A and B, and it looks like just the pairing A with B. So the action, if you like, I can simply write as F curvature with B. Just to be really explicit, I want to imagine my 2 manifold to just be the half plane, like this. And it's clear from the description I just gave that if I look at a germ near the boundary, so I just look at some U epsilon neighborhood here, that E restricted to U epsilon looks like the Durham complex on epsilon tensor, this phase space here.
What's the phase space?
It can actually.
So the phase space. Now I have to decide what shifts I want. So the phase space now in the Lie grading, I want to take to be concentrated degrees 0, 1, and 2. And it looks like omega 0 on U tensor G. So U is, this is on U, some neighborhood in the boundary. And then I have the symplectic pairing on this guy, which again is just wedging and integrating forms together with the dual pairing on G. And now it's of a shifted degree. I haven't showed you what boundary conditions I'm going to use. Yeah. So this is my phase space. So the two boundary conditions I'm going to study, get my colors right. Or this guy, which I'll call L D, and this guy, which I'll call L N.
Well, he didn't tell us if circling meant that he was only allowing fields there or if he was annihilating fields there.
I'm only allowing fields there.
Then it's the other way. Like, is that setting for equal zero?
Sorry.
So this is the. Are you talking about normal for the gauge field or for this true one?
It's for the gauge field. Yeah, I guess I did.
Yeah, well, just reach there.
Thank you. Okay. Okay, so let me look at L1 first, or sorry, the thing I'm calling Ln, the Norman boundary condition. So here now, I have some space of observables, classically, on the boundary that I'll call this. So by definition, this is O. L of N shifted. Which I think about actually here. So let me say the following. Let me just give this as a proposition. So for each I inside of my boundary R, so interval here, so thinking about this as the boundary of H, there is a quasi-isomorphism I with the following complex. It's exactly Chevalier-Eilenberg complex on G. Moreover, the induced P0 structure is trivial. So it's kind of super degenerate case. So what's the idea? So why is this? Well, by definition, the observables I, they look like some big symmetric algebra. On this complex here. So I have constant degrees minus one and zero because I'm shifting. and then I'm taking the dual. So this looks like functions on this shift here, together with some differential. This differential just comes from the fact that I have a naturally defined Lie algebra structure on this top line here, which is just the restriction of the Lie algebra structure I mentioned before. So I'm just wedging forms on U, or I, together with the Lie bracket on G. And what this means that, since this is an interval, I can contract this to looking at sim on the shift. So dual, like this. And this induced differential is exactly the Chevalier-Allenby differential for G. And if you follow Phil's prescription from yesterday, you can see that the P0 structure is trivial. But you can actually just see that for silly degree reasons here. There's no way to support a non-trivial Poisson bracket of degree minus one. OK, so that was kind of the boring Lagrangian. And let me just say, so since this P0 structure is trivial, there are no interesting deformations when I quantize. And this shows that my quantum observables for this guy on I are exactly just the trivial deformation. So I'm just adjoining H bar.
I don't understand why to say. I mean, I believe you that in this example you can quantize without sort of actually quantizing.
Right.
But it doesn't. I don't see why it would follow from abstract nonsense. Like I could have had to do something complicated in the bulk, mm-hmm. and then that complication might have.
So we're gonna see it from like an explicit bulk calculation later. I'm gonna talk about. So the quantizations I'm describing now are very are relying on the fact that I have a simple description of my P0 structure together with a simple description of the L infinity structure as well.
Aren't you saying just DG algebra has no deformations?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It's an easy computation.
Sure, but I think he was asking is like, is that the?
Yeah, I can certainly like I believe that BF theory is very well behaved. I sort of believe that at the time if you sort of eyeball something, and BF theory is probably the new right. But what I was doubting was I could imagine setting up some very complicated bulk theory that happens to admit a sort of boundary condition where it happens that the P0 structure on the boundary is zero, even though like. There's actually a lot of interesting structure in the bulk. And I could imagine that I had to work really hard to quantize the bulk and sort of that was like an honestly kind of quantum like a deformation. And I could imagine that sort of deformation like means that if I want to quantize the boundary, I also have to kind of do something non-trivial to deform the boundary.
I think you're absolutely right. I think like the P0 structure captures the first order deformation. And in principle,
at zero, there could be, you know, some 10 crazy data. So, yeah, I'll try to explain in reference to actually thinking about these as operators in the bulk boundary theory. Here I'm just kind of abstractly using the fact that I have this P0 structure together with the L infinity structure in the boundary and telling you a preferred deformation.
So I guess you could make the nonlinear manipulations more interesting by adding quantum mechanics.
Absolutely, yeah. Hopefully I can talk about it at the end. Okay. So let me now discuss this second Lagrangian. So now we have so Lie algebra, it's concentrated in degrees 1 and 2. So now, just for silly degree reasons, this has a trivial Lie structure. For the dual reason why this guy had a trivial P0 structure, this guy cannot support any interesting Lie structure. But now, I claim the P0 structure is identified with the Lie bracket on G, together with wedging. So why does this make sense? Well, this P0 structure is an element of sections LD with values in sim2 of LD here. And in this case, you can check that it's actually a linear P0 structure. So it corresponds to a map LD into sim2 LD. But I might as well think about this as a map from LD tensor LN into LD here. Just by applying one dual of LD to think about it as being on the other side and using the fact that I have complementary Lagrangians. And here, I'm just identifying what I mean by this P0 structure. It's this wedge and bracket. So just the Lie bracket here, the action of the top line on the bottom line. Okay. So keep it on. So what this says is that if I work with now my observables classically on I, remember I could replace this by this smeared thing here on LD together with this Durham referential. But now, there's an action of this BV Laplacian that's going to define the quantum observables. So on generators, delta is precisely, so this is, I'm going to define this on LD dual, tensor LD dual. And because this was a linear Poisson bracket on the generator, so I think about this guy as a linear times a linear thing, it's not going to give me a constant term. It's going to give me another linear term here. And this is precisely the Lie bracket on G. So what is the upshot of this? So the upshot for each I interval in the boundary there is a quasi-isomorphism of this quantum guy that I'm going to define naively as the smeared observables on LD. So I have this Durham differential plus now H bar and this BV Laplacian, which is defined because I'm looking at these smeared things. And this guy is quasi-isomorphic to chains on some Lie algebra G plus some central extension placed in a non-trivial cohomological degree here.
G is not G.
G, sorry, G, G, yeah,
let me. G is not the finite
dimension. Yeah, let me be. So this guy is equal to. The symmetric algebra of, so I have something in degree minus one and zero. Compact support tensor G, and I'm applying two linear duals, so I just see G here, tensor G here. A joint H bar in my Durham differential acts on this guy, and then I have some BV Laplacian like this. And I'm saying that this guy is quasi-isomorphic to, thank you, Lie cochains. So this guy I can write as this L infinity algebra, or just a DG Lie algebra now, of compact supported forms on I, tensor G, together with some extension, minus one. In the Lie bracket here, well, it's just the ordinary Lie bracket on this piece, and then I have some central term, or sorry, I have the following Lie bracket. Let me just write it. So this Chevalier-Alamer differential maps xy to h bar delta xy like this.
So literally the bracket is you wedge and bracket, but then you got off by a degree, so you put an h bar.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So this is so that the h bar is actually in degree zero in my Chevalier-Alamer complex. And I don't have time to, so this implies that the factorization algebra on the boundary is identified with the associative algebra that I'll call U H bar G. So by definition, this looks like this. Some tensor product of G plus C H bar modulo XY minus YX minus H bar X bar. And H bar commutes with all of the things like this. So this is like just an H bar deformation you should think of. It's just the ordinary enveloping algebra. What time did I start?
You said it's close to plus, so you have like 11 minutes.
11 minutes?
Cool.
Okay. So maybe in the next talk, Kevin's going to try to describe the phenomena that we just witnessed, which is that these two algebras of observables look very close to being Kozul dual. In fact, they are Kozul dual. So there's some nice general story for that, but I won't talk about now. But let me maybe in the last 2 minutes describe this gauging procedure. So suppose V omega is some ordinary symplectic vector space. Okay. And then just consider topological mechanics with target V. So this is described by this L infinity algebra that looks like Durand forms on R, tensor with V, put in this degree here. And this guy has a minus 3 shifted pairing from the form omega. So I'm just looking at the particle moving inside of the symplectic vector space. Okay. And now suppose that my Lie algebra G acts on the symplectic vector space by symplectic linear maps. So I want to gauge this action now, and there's a really easy way to gauge it. So I can define my local Lie algebra on R by just taking G and tensoring it with my Durand forms. So this is some really nice local Lie algebra. And I claim that now this local Lie algebra acts on my topological mechanics just by the action of G together with wedging forms. And in this setting, we can define the reduction, the symplectic reduction, V mod mod L, which is the Lie algebra, the DG Lie algebra, that looks like just taking the cotangent bundle of this guy.
Sorry, L is your name for form of Lie
algebra. You give me L.
Oh, thanks. So I want to describe how this reduction comes about from these pictures that Phil was drawing at the end of his talk yesterday and that Tudor was mentioning in his talk on Monday.
You should maybe say it like it's a deformation of that direct sum by just like the action and the kind of moment map.
Yes, yeah, sorry. So I wrote an action here, but there's also an action on L on V. And I really want to encode the L infinity structure there.
So the moment map.
Yeah, so the moment map provides this with this L infinity structure here. Yeah, thanks. So the picture I want to look at is the following. So consider the bulk theory now. Tensor with L street shifted by 2. Note that this is exactly this BF theory I just wrote down.
Where R means R2 now?
So L has some internal form degree as well. So I mean, this is really isomorphic to BF theory. I'm thinking about this guy as being a theory on
R is the horizontal.
Yes, sorry. Yeah. This is the.
Maybe you should say 0, 1, like the interval.
Sure.
Just for the picture.
Thanks.
Okay.
So what is the phase space? We've already discussed this guy. The phase space is this E del thing. In here, we had two Lagrangians. We had this Neumann Lagrangian, which now I'm going to mix up. So this is the thing. And we have this Dirichlet Lagrangian, like this, right? And now I want to think about some generalization of this Lagrangian that Davide was mentioning earlier, which looks like my L. So here, so here L n, was I calling this L before? Yes.
Convenient coincidence in notation between the Lagrangians and the local Lie algebras.
Yeah. So this was just the thing I was calling the LN earlier.
LN from that board is L from above your head right now. Is that what you're telling me?
Yes.
Okay.
Second. Okay. Oh, just like
and then this is L sheep. Dirichlet. And this is the thing I cute. So this looks like L now, semi-direct product, this symplectic guy, V. So this is not an embedded Lagrangian anymore, but it still does have the structure of a derived Lagrangian. So this is a derived Lagrangian. Precisely because of the fact that V has a symplectic structure. So now what I want to do is consider the following situation. So I can either put this Neumann boundary condition here, or this Dirichlet boundary condition here, at my zero wall. And on my one wall, I want to put this enriched guy, L semidirect product V. And now the statement I'm going to make is what happens when I compactify these Neumann and Dirichlet boundary conditions, respectively, with the so the zero wall with the one wall, under the one wall. So I'm compactifying in this normal direction now. So the compactification of, so let me do first Dirichlet with this enriched enriched Neumann. So this looks like L shriek minus 2 fiber product over my bulk theory shriek minus 2 with my enriched Neumann like this. And I claim that we can identify this guy with just V. And then Neumann with enriched Neumann gives this gauging. So this looks like L product over L with L shriek shifted. Again, with LV. This is exactly this reduction I wrote down before as local Lie algebras. And let me just remark at the end, we can use the fact that we just computed earlier. We already know what the observables for this guy were and this guy were. And here we have this we find this residual action by this envelope of G. And here we have a residual action of the Chevalier-Eilenberg complex of G, this, as local operators. And this is, yeah, I think I should probably stop there. Yeah.
Can you rescue it left by clapping B? Something?
How do you usually enrich this way? Do you have
not usually, not usually, but okay. Something in a BF formalism, if you could couple the boundary value of B to something. If you know what that means in our formalism, you can certainly do but no, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I don't know what you mean, so.
The thing is that the L-tree shifted by minus 2 doesn't really have an interesting Lie algebra structure, so it kind of doesn't really act on things very interestingly.
I mean, there's nothing stopping you having, you know, this field B, fermionic, in the Brown complex. There's something stopping you having another field theory which you can couple to that.
Some other non-degenerate field?
Yeah. Yeah. Then no problem with this.
Yeah, that's true.
But it's just because something more difficult in mind.
we can just write down some kind
yeah.
of random action coupling the.
Yeah,
that's
totally fine.
Yeah.
I think there's one thing you're going to get. So if you could do this, you can also engage. If you have to reach the endpoint one, then you can do them together by this kind of coupling. And that produces the entity.
Yeah, that's kind of like what that top line is sort of trying
right,
to say.
Right,
yeah.
That's what Kudor's.
Yeah, this is sort of supposed to be a reproduction.
Right.
That's what I'm trying to explain.
Right, you know, former. Yeah, was one like double centiline V double centiline this V over L if it could be coupled to the Dirichlet-Monnet condition. So you can couple V, you can use V to enrich Neumann, you use V over L to enrich Dirichlet.
Yeah, I see. Yeah. So what you said about the residual operator is actually the data you need.
Ah, I see. Really cool.
Sure.
Yeah, I think no problem.
Yeah, I guess this entity, you could just have another, on the left side of the bottom line, another Freiberg product over L semi-direct L shriek, and then put another L shriek at the other side, maybe?
There's a similar story in RCFT, where that's certainly true.
Nice.
So I have two questions. The first is, I assume in these examples, like, it continues to be the case that kind of the quantization is completely kind of smooth, and I mean, it's completely for free. I don't have to work hard to tell your whole story, like, to be in the quantum. And then my question two is, like, what is, I mean, this is tantalizingly close, of course, to what Tudor was telling us. But Tudor was telling us something also about kind of the global topology of groups. Do you want to speculate about how to put that in?
I don't want to speculate.
It's a little hard to see from these perturbative formalisms.
This is the model Tudor is doing.
Right.
Sure.
There's also that difference. Yeah, this is mirror, I guess.
Well, this was much more interesting from our perturbative point of view, from the Lie algebra. As far as your first question, this was very special. Let me just say this was special to the case that we had a very simple P0 structure on the boundary.
Like you never had to use, you gave us two sort of prescriptions for how to handle the.
Yes.
And you never
so I didn't get to talk about my other prescription because it's late on time, but maybe we could talk later about how. So there's something you can do in this example, some explicit calculations that we can talk about. But, yeah.
Maybe it's also worth mentioning now, if I could just say the result that Phil was claiming yesterday about quantizing this Katz-Moody kind of easily is exactly the same argument here. And somehow this is just a like local Lie algebra version of this familiar fact that you can always kind of quantize the the dual of a Lie algebra is always Poisson, you can always quantize it to get an enveloping algebra.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some, so that's where this kind of linear Poisson structures are coming from Lie algebras. And then the version he had yesterday had sort of a constant and linear term, and that just corresponds to the case where the Lie algebra has a central extension. You want to get a kind of twisted enveloping algebra.
But in general, I have to refer to the full theory, the full quantization theory for more complicated examples, of course.
Yeah, so are there more questions? So if not, let's finish the again.